Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Jumping Monkeys is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 2 for June 8th, 2007, Mighty Girl, Maggie Mason. Jumping Monkeys, Episode 2.
Hello, Leo.
Hey, Megan Maroney. So this is the show where we talk about parenting in the digital age.
Yes.
And we've got our first guest today.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited. Maggie Mason from Mighty Girl and Mighty Goods is here.
Maggie's going to... I'm really afraid because she wrote the book for bloggers, No One Cares What You Had for Lunch.
Mm-hmm. 101 Ideas for Your Blog.
And I'm really afraid that she was thinking of me when she said that. So I'm afraid she's going to yell at me a little bit. Anyway, we'll talk.
What did you have for lunch? Nothing.
No, I'm having a brownie that I You know, this is the amazing thing in the digital age. Okay, so you brought... This is a very analog brownie.
Yeah.
It's delicious. But you don't merely say, here's a brownie. You say, and there are pictures of it on Flickr. Right?
That's true. Yes,
and what am I doing? I'm looking at them.
Yes, I brought you the brownie and I showed... I told Leo he had to look at the pictures of the actual making of the brownie.
Milo and Huck and Annabella did all the work. And
yes.
you were cute. You said, don't worry, they didn't lick the spoon before we baked the brownie. That's post-baking. Now, you have twin boys.
I do. Milo and Huck.
And they're about one?
They'll be two tomorrow.
Tomorrow, two?
Tomorrow.
And Annabella's fourth birthday is tomorrow.
It was last week.
Oh, but
Saturday.
You're having a party for all three?
Yeah, all three.
That's going to be tough that they're all in the same time frame, huh?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was fun when I was pregnant because I got to wear the same maternity clothes and, you know, see how much bigger I was the second time around.
Right. And yeah. You're kind of used to having a baby in the spring. And,
right.
But I know, okay, so they're twins, identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell them apart. No one else.
No, yeah, no one else.
But you're exacerbating things here because they're both wearing no shirt.
Right. We sometimes do the shirts and skins. That helps people, but, you know.
and they're both wearing blue jeans. You don't dress them identically, do you?
No.
It's just by chance that they look the same.
Yeah, they had different shirts on, but, yeah.
Look at Annabelle. She's so cute. Oh, and there's, is that Milo or Huck in the pig costume?
That's Milo in the pig costume. They all are crazy about pigs.
Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, I don't know. I did dress them.
Who isn't crazy about pigs?
I don't know. I did dress them as three little pigs.
Either pork or pets.
Yeah, I know. That is a problem. But
so this is Megan's photo stream is at flickr.com/Megan Maroney. You don't mind if people go.
No,
in fact, you
no.
got a link on your.
I do.
Monkeys.
Yeah, I had actually linked to the brownie pictures because I was discussing that in reference to an article in Newsweek.
About?
That it was about how our parent fears are actually sometimes worse than the things that we should. The things that we are afraid of are worse.
Like what?
What they said, this is a really interesting thing. You know how all the playgrounds are all new and soft and plastic
right.
and you can never hurt yourself?
Right.
There's an Australian study that I haven't seen this study, but it was quoted in this Newsweek article about how kids
better if you hurt yourself?
Yeah. Well, basically, what they said we're saying is playground injuries are still on the rise despite all these safety precautions. And what they think is that kids are taking more risks because... it's so safe. And so that's why they're hurting themselves.
Maybe there's a baseline of danger that you have to achieve. And if the devices are not sufficiently scary, you know, we used to slide down metal slides with sharp edges and into rocks.
Yeah.
And if they're not sufficiently scary, the kids have to up the ante.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're challenging themselves.
Yeah. I think it works with other things besides playground equipment. I grew up in the suburbs and, you know, in outside of Houston. And
now you have a lot of piercings and tattoos. No, she doesn't.
I don't. But like we did really dangerous things when I was in junior high. We'd take our parents' car out and drive downtown and things that you children, if you're listening, do not do. But yeah, it's just because it was so safe and insular.
Right.
And then
that's
just feel
Abby's like that here in Petaluma. We live in a very small town, probably similar to where you grew up.
Yeah. Well, no.
A little more bigger and cosmopolitan.
Yeah. And Texas is different than
that's
California.
True. That's true. But she, you know, she's 15. In 6 months, she gets her learner's permit. She's already, you know, lobbying to drive the car. And I said, well, you can't drive the car now. She said, well, everybody, this is the always the excuse, everybody's driving now. I said, no, because you don't have a permit. You can't drive until you have a permit. If, you know, A, if you get stopped, they'll never let you drive ever.
Yeah.
B, if you get in an accident, my insurance company will laugh at me and say, no, we're not paying for that. So you're not, she said, just around the parking lot. I said, no.
Yeah, but see, that's different too. I mean, in our town, you can walk around, and where I grew up, really in the suburbs, there was no place to walk. I mean, you had to get in the car.
That's
go
true.
Everywhere.
Yeah, she can walk in the town. Yeah. Does, in fact, they frequently do.
Yes, we see her in town.
You know, again, there's another thing that they talk about. I guess this is old hat, but all of these antibacterial soaps and germ-free environments. Not only do we create super bacteria by doing this, because of course, any bacteria that survives is going to evolve into a super bacteria. But maybe also worse is that the kids don't get the antibodies. It's good to eat a little dirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's true. When people...
Your kids eat dirt.
They do.
Yeah. I don't think there's dirt. A fear here.
They eat food off the floor. Yeah, they eat dirt.
It's
they
good.
Eat
Bugs
raw egg, as you can see on Flickr. Hopefully,
no,
I won't get email about
they're not
that.
Eating raw egg.
There's that's what happens. You can't eat dough anymore.
I know.
When you can't eat cookie dough.
What good is life?
Yeah, exactly.
Life is over as we know it. So let's, before we go to Maggie, and she is great, very interesting person, a great writer.
Yeah.
And a mommy.
Mm-hmm.
8 months, 8 weeks old.
8 weeks, yeah. Hank. Yeah, they have great pictures
I have
on
a
Flickr,
Hank too. Henry's a Hank.
Yeah, yeah. I think he might be a Henry, too. Yeah. But, yeah.
So, let's talk about some links.
Okay.
Some mommy links, daddy links, parent links, kid links. What do you got?
Well, yeah, I thought we'd talk about some of my favorite sites. And probably, if people are listening to this, they might have already heard of these. My favorite is Parent Hacks. And this is done by Asha Dornfest, who you've definitely interviewed her husband before.
Rail Dornfest,
yeah,
is a
he
great
wrote
guy.
Google
he wrote,
Hacks.
He was the editor of the whole Hacks series for O'Reilly. He created that. Yeah,
I think Google Hacks was my favorite. But Parent Hacks is a great community site, and people just send in just different things you can do, things they've learned as a parent that might help others, and they're just hilarious. I mean,
it's like Life Hacker, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just not necessarily totally geeky, but just, you know, fun things. And hopefully we're going to get her on the show soon to interview and tell us about some more about those hacks. But
she has said she will.
Yes, she has agreed. And it's parenthacks.com. And they have tons of archives. I mean, I'm just constantly, whenever I think about something, you know, we're throwing this birthday party for the kids, and I, you know, just searched birthday party and found so much great advice, just little things that are excellent. Like,
Here, they also have a Flickr stream. If you look for parent hacks as the tags on Flickr's, I don't know if this is, I would recommend this, converting battery power to AC power. That's a hack, but I don't know if that's something I'd recommend doing with your kids. It's nothing. See, I think, in my opinion, soldering is probably not something you want to.
Yeah, these are more things for parents of younger kids.
Yeah.
Hacking their kids, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, fun things on that side.
A polar fleece makes crib extra cozy.
Yes. Yeah. Or, you know, those
fabulous twit fleece would give them the right idea,
too.
Oh,
yes. Where can they get fabulous twit fleece for their crib?
Geek.com or from Scott Evest. That's who makes our lovely twit fleeces. In fact, I have one for you in the other room. I'll break it out. Now that it's getting warm, I can give it to you.
You know, speaking of Think Geek, always loved Think Geek. They have been a great site forever. But I was looking through their cube toys the other day.
Yeah.
And those are just generally most, I mean,
they'd be good.
Some of them,
kid toys.
Yeah. Some of them probably have small parts, but if you go searching, there's some really fun things.
Catch.
If you really,
there's a ZDTV rubber cube, and she caught it beautifully. And I really, I surprised her with that.
Yeah. But yeah, like, and especially, you know, little Darth Vader bobbleheads, things like that. If you really want to grow a geek, Think Geek toys.
That's a great idea. Yeah. There's no reason you can't go here to get kids toys. They're geek toys, but kids love them too.
And something else, I think I probably saw this on Parent Hacks, but it's like an LED light that you can put on your bathtub faucet that shows how hot the water is. That's great for infants.
We covered that on the Gizwiz.
Really?
Yeah, Dick doesn't like to
kids?
Get burned. No, he just doesn't like to get burned. So he has one, but it's very cool. It glows red when it's hot, and it glows blue when it's cool.
Yeah, which is an
Isn't
excellent
that a great
yeah.
idea.
And that's a Think Geek, right?
Did you see that? Yep, it's from Think Geek.
Yeah, it's for
You might
excellent.
Like this, the Screaming Monkey Slingshot.
Ooh.
It's not jumping, but it's screaming.
Yeah. They have lots of good monkey stuff.
I love Think Inc. Yeah. They like monkeys.
They also have the Megan Maroney appliance Barbie doll at Think Geek.
Does it have your name actually on it?
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. This
it's been a bestseller at Think Geek since April.
No, you have
April.
An action figure?
Yes. Look up Megan Maroney action figure Think Geek. Yeah,
I'm stunned.
It's been a great seller since probably April 1st, 2002. It says...
How come you have an action figure? I'm so jealous. I can't find it. Maybe they don't sell it anymore.
Oh, maybe they don't.
That would be a bummer.
Try Google.
Yeah, I'll Google it.
Megan Maroney appliance and... Yeah.
Well, I'll just look it for Megan
it's
Maroney.
It's been way too long since figure. I... it might not be action figure.
It's a. I'll just look at appliance.
Appliance doll. It's just a doll.
Does it look like you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you find
it's
it?
The Megan Maroney.
Yeah. Bestseller since
it's
April
expensive.
1st.
It's 129
2002.
Bucks.
Since April 1st, 2002.
It's the Megan Maroney download of the day internet appliance doll. Oh, April 1st, 2002.
Yeah.
I'm starting to
part
get
their,
why the date yeah. would be important.
I think it's 2002 or 2001, maybe.
It's the mm.dia/d.
Yeah. You can't actually buy one of these. It was an
looks
April Fool's
like
joke on ThinkGeek back in the day.
Back when people watched the screensavers.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
But enough about me. Another
links.
Site that I really like
yes.
is GeekDad, which is done by the editor of Wired, Chris Anderson, who's also the author of The Long Tail,
yeah.
which, you know, and it's not only done by him. It's kind of a group blog just by several geek dads. And this one... it's probably for parents of more older kids. This is what you were talking about before. It's,
yeah. The very first article today is the Pinewood Derby car made to look like a Lego. And he's got the trophy next to it. That's
yeah.
I did the Pinewood. You'll be doing Pinewood Derby soon.
Yeah. And it's got, yeah, I mean, just Lego Mindstorms. We used to have those guys on the screensavers. Remember? They were
yeah.
great. And just really cool, fun things that you can do with, you know, sons and daughters.
This is good.
It's, yeah, it is a great
I look
site.
At these, though, and maybe you get this feeling, too, and I feel inadequate. I feel like I'm not doing enough interesting things. You know, these are all the things I could be doing if I were a better dad. But
you're
I'm just lucky
dad.
If I go home and then the kid sees me. That's, you know, that's, I figure I've parented.
You've been making Pinewood Derby.
I did
boxes.
A Pinewood Derby, yeah.
Yeah, yeah you're involved.
Yeah,
you
but when
built,
I read,
didn't you build a skateboard ramp for Henry?
I didn't build one. I bought one. Somebody came to build it. But when I look at articles like this, introducing your kids to the machine shop, I just feel inadequate.
I feel scared, actually. The machine shop makes me think of that Robert Frost poem. Where
he has a poem
loses...
about machine shops?
No, it's like the saw. It's a kid who loses a finger in the saw.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could introduce the kid to the production studio.
Yeah. Why haven't you? We should get those kids on.
They don't want to be. I keep saying, you know, this is so sad. I keep telling them, I've got a job for you. You know, because they don't have to look for a summer job. I can hire. I've got a job for you when you're ready to work. And they all say, no, I'd rather work at Burger King. They don't want to follow in dad's footsteps. I understand that.
Yeah.
My father was a geologist. I didn't want to be a geologist.
Yeah.
Your father's a writer. You kind of followed in his
footsteps. He's in advertising. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He writes short form.
He does, yes.
Very short.
Yeah. do we have time for more sites?
You know, the nice thing about this, you got all the time you want.
People listening to that are like, really? Yeah. I don't have all the time I want.
Oh, that's true. Megan's teaching me something about this because I never really think about the length of the podcast.
Yeah.
But you're a busy person and you're telling me that you should
people
consider
are busy,
that.
Yeah. Rookie moms.
RookieMoms.com.
There's some women in San Francisco, I think. And each day they have like a little activity that you can do. And this is for really small kids. It's you're parenting your first year, I think. But it's like, go to a farmer's market. Things that kind of seem obvious, but when you're in that sleep-deprived
you
first year, you
idea.
Think, oh, farmer's
yeah.
market? Just yeah. really great little, just a little thing every day.
And oh, this is fun to look at. Great. Yeah,
two geek moms.
And they tag it by the month. So they've got prenatal through month 12. So
yeah.
if you're in month 7,
mm-hmm.
you could actually look at the tags and see 31 things you could do in your 7th month.
Yeah.
Not of pregnancy, but of childhood. Go to a farmer's market, number
right.
one.
Yeah. A podcast I've been listening to
yeah.
that I really like called Manic Mommies.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah. They are really funny. And from what I gather, they just kind of started, you know, drinking wine together after their kids went to sleep. Like, let's record ourselves. Like, one is very geeky and one is not so geeky. So they've just, they're hilarious to listen to, and they're full-time working moms. So that's just really interesting to me. I work, and also I work at home, so I get to spend time with my kids, and they're at home. And so, I get to go to the playground with my kids, which is really fun. And I love the moms that I meet on the playground, but sometimes, usually the moms that you meet on the playground are not working. They're just staying home with the kids, which is, of course, still working very hard, much harder than most normal work.
Oh, but it's easier to go to work.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, when Abby was first born, I stayed home for quite some time, only worked a couple of days a week. And I couldn't wait to go back to work.
Yeah.
It was such hard work to take care of Abby.
Yeah, so I definitely have lots in common with the moms I meet at the playground, but there are things like, you know, childcare issues, or, you know, how do you make the time that you have with your kids more quality time,
right.
And, you know, just dealing with, you know, people at work and, you know, asking for raises and that kind of thing. Like, asking for
a raise when you have spit up on your shoulder,
yeah,
which makes it a little more difficult, at least to maintain your dignity.
Yeah, they're just really fun. And it's like, it's kind of like, you know, if full-time working moms were hanging out on the playground, this is what the kind of conversation they'd be having.
I love that.
Unfortunately, they're not hanging out on the playground, so you have to listen to them. But
if you're
not
busy and you're driving home from work and you want to feel like you've had that experience, you could do that.
Yeah, so they're really funny. ManicMommies.com.
.com. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to our manic mighty person.
Yeah, she's not manic. She's
actually very calm.
Yes.
Centered. Collected, even.
Yeah, Maggie Mason. I have been a fan of hers. I heard her on NPR last fall talk about her shopping blog, MightyGoods.com, which just has a unique thing that just she posts every day, and it's just always really interesting. And not like from big retailers usually. What she talks about often is a little small retailers, like things that wouldn't have been available without the web. You know, I don't know, Etsy.com.
Etsy is so great. ETSY.com.
Yeah. And this is a lot of moms too, like at home trying to, you know, do their own home businesses, making crafts and things that they would never get into regular market without, you know, sites like this. So she finds one of these and posts one every day.
Let's say hello to Maggie Mason. Congratulations on your new baby.
Thank you so much.
Aww. Is this your first?
He is.
I can't believe you're actually doing an interview.
I can't either.
I know. This is horrible for me because, you know, I was working on your book, like, Leo, after I had Annabella. It was like she was six
it's too
weeks
hard
old.
To do.
Is Hank about 6 weeks old?
He is almost 2 months.
Oh, wow.
So just approaching the 8 week mark.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm sure that I agreed just because I'm so sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Well, if you change your mind, if you deeply regret this, you can
just let us know.
Bail out.
Yeah, if I start sobbing in the middle, I'll be like, hold on.
Well, your blog posts don't seem like you're sleep deprived. You seem you seem to have your creativity. That's the first thing that goes, I think, when sleep deprivation. But you seem to have not lost yours.
Well, I definitely lost my spelling ability. The typos are, it's rife with typos now.
Is it? That's funny.
Yeah.
My wife says, you lose brain cells with each baby.
Yeah.
They kind of go out with the baby.
Well, I was editing. Detail work was the first thing to go for me, and I was editing, and that's kind of how I knew I was pregnant, was because people kept saying, you know, you're having typos on your blog, or they would correct me in comments because I'd just turned them on. And I was mortified, you know, because that's what I do for a living. And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And then, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah. I think pregnancy brain is worse than mommy brain, actually.
I definitely have found that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're forced to be, you know, quick-witted when you have a baby. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you have to. And I think your hormones help a little bit with that. I don't know. There's that mommy brain book. I don't know if you've seen that, where it actually says that women get smarter.
Really? Pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Good. I'm hoping so, because I keep hearing people. I think people use it as an excuse for stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just never got it back.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of introduce you off mic. You know, just Megan and I will talk a little bit about who Maggie Mason is, and then we'll just launch right into it.
Yeah.
So go ahead and ask a question. Wait a minute, Internet. I'm in labor. Do something. That's the one Twitter post you put up. You need to do some more Twittering.
Oh, no, that's not my only Twitter post.
Oh,
where are you looking?
Oh, I see. That was,
I have...
You know why? Because when you I was Googling Maggie Mason, and Twitter shows up very well.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Twitter has a lot of Google juice. It's
like, that's interesting.
Yeah. Same thing
I
for
have
me.
No idea.
It's like the number 4 or 5. Let me see. I'll go back and see on the Google. Yeah, it was the number 4 result for Maggie Mason.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, but you have a lot of posts. You're, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge Twitter user.
Me too. I just added you to my Twitter.
Oh, thank you. That's quite a compliment because it's kind of invasive.
It's highly invasive. I know. I have 4,500 followers. And so every time I type something, I think, geez.
Yeah, I'm a Twitter voyeur, but I don't want everyone to know what I'm doing all the time.
You know, I think that potential for stalking, people don't really think about that when they first start using. I think women are more conscious about it, but Evan Williams is a really close friend of ours. So I feel like when I'm not a big early adopter, and he, you know, was like, hey, use this, try it out. And I was hooked immediately.
Yeah.
Except for the Twitter abusers, like people who are posting 16 times a day about my sesame seed bagel is stale, you know, just like, oh man.
Well, that's kind of what you say in your book too. Nobody wants to know what you ate.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to read a Twitter book. 101 ideas for your Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm. I still have more blog ideas though. I'll have to cycle through all those first.
Oh yeah.
You can just go ahead. And,
okay. Yeah. Are you working on a new book?
I would like to write a sequel to the book. I'm shopping an etiquette book right now through my agent. Uh-huh. And I was in the midst of a thoughtful users series for the morning news on sort of like gadget and tech etiquette when the pregnancy sort of hit me full force and I ground to a halt. So I'll probably pick that up again soon. And that I was thinking would make an interesting book. So we'll see.
Yeah.
When you say netiquette, do you mean digital netiquette or general netiquette?
No, I mean etiquette and the etiquette of technology. Ah. So like if you're using Twitter, how often is it okay to post? What times of day? Well, now that you can turn off Twitter, one of the first things that they did in beta was made it so that you could turn off Twitter alerts during a certain time period so that it wasn't waking you in the middle of the night. But if the technology didn't make that possible, then that would be sort of an etiquette point. Like, not so much the Twittering at 4 a.m. from the bar, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or Twittering about other people, probably. That would be something. Because, you know, I'm here with so-and-so and doing so-and-so.
I just did that. I'm sorry. I just said, I just Twittered that I'm talking to Maggie.
You Twittered us out.
Isn't that okay?
No, that's okay.
I think that's okay. Yeah. Twitter kind of violates all etiquette in general. I mean, the whole notion of Twitter is kind of anti-etiquette, don't you think?
No, not at all. I think that I use it as a blogging medium. So
it's a mini
especially
blog.
Yeah, but not for everyone. I mean, some people use it as a, like, it exploded at South by Southwest, I hear. I wasn't there, but everyone I know used it, and it really took off and left the community. Oh yeah, but one of the things about South by Southwest is if you're not staying at one of the big hotels, like if you're out, especially I love to stay at the San Jose. So if you're out at the San Jose, you can often feel really isolated. Like, where is everybody? And then you don't have the phone numbers of, you know, the person you met twice at South by Southwest in previous years who lives in Iowa. You have all of his digital contact info, but none of his actual info. So it's a way for taking online relationships into the real world when you're in a physical space without having to overcome that obstacle, you know? Which
yeah,
is kind of
nice.
Point.
Yeah.
So you just had a baby.
Yes.
Your first.
You're
8 weeks into this.
Yes. I'm definitely still figuring it out for sure.
So how has it changed? You haven't stopped blogging.
No, I have it. Well, with Mighty Goods, which is my shopping site, I posted probably 4 months worth of content in advance. And then I'm using Movable Type Future Post to update
smart.
That. Yeah. And I did it through actually part of the end of my last trimester I took off. And then I will occasionally post a new thing or, you know, I check in to make sure that the links are still working or that it's uploading properly because I've had some glitches. I'm sort of using MT as a content management system more heavily than I should be. You know, it should probably be like a Drupal backend or something. So I need to sort of check in to make sure that everything's loading the way it should be. But otherwise, that's been running on autopilot, which has been a blessing. And then Mighty Girl, I'm finding that a lot of really funny stuff is happening related to being a parent. And we've been out in the world a lot. And so those things have been a lot more, I mean, I guess with a baby around, I've had more to write about for sure.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of people find. So, and Twitter has made that actually really nice for me too, because I use it to post remotely. And I have a Treo, so I take a lot of cell phone pictures to upload them to Flickr and things like that. So I'm finding that with the Treo, it's much easier for me to sort of take notes on what I want to be posting, photograph things to upload to Flickr, use a Twitter that's going to appear on my page. So it's made me a lot more productive in times that I otherwise wouldn't have had access to being online.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's when you're a parent, especially a new parent, you have these like little 5-minute gasps of things that you can do. I mean, and if you were writing in long form, if you were working on a book, that would be difficult. Whereas, you know, you can easily do a Twitter post, or, you know, your blog posts are so short and pithy, and I bet you have more time for that in the little naps.
Right. Well, I've been working on my labor post for 2 months now.
Like, I was going to ask about that. Yeah, a lot of people noticed in your comments, when are you going to tell us about labor? And I was just thinking, maybe she doesn't want to tell you about labor.
Well, at first I wasn't sure. And there is sort of, you know, I've been blogging for more than 6 years now. And so there is a real sort of weirdness that comes in with life transitions in terms of your audience. And there are a lot of people who have been reading me for years and years who are just really not into hearing about the poopy diapers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very hesitant about that at first. And then it was like, you know, this is my life and this is what I'm living now. And I've never been a particularly like super personal blogger. I had a keen audience awareness from the beginning because I was a writer beforehand. And so I always sort of knew my grandma was going to stumble across it at some point, you know? So, yes. My aunts and uncles read it regularly, which I didn't realize until I opened up the comments section. And then it was like, Oh, goodness.
That's one thing that definitely changes when you have a baby is they're looking for any information they can get.
Yeah.
And right.
So if they weren't reading you and they weren't looking at your Flickr photos before, they certainly are now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
and
how did that
fact,
change what
we
you
set
do?
The grandparents up with Flickr? Well, it didn't. Because, like I said, from the very beginning, I've been like, okay, am I willing to tell everyone in the world about this? Like, I have a rule that if you appear in one of my blog posts, you should be pleased to see yourself there. You know, like, it should always be a positive experience because you said something witty or you did something kind or whatever. You know, I've never sort of used it as a venting venue, or I've tried really hard to keep things super positive and without being, you know, Pollyanna and annoying. But there's a lot of things that you can post that don't that can be witty without hurting people. You know?
Yeah.
So I've tried to sort of stick to that format, but I did have a catastrophe with my aunt, a very close aunt, who we had the baby a week early, actually before my due date. And we had not yet put together our notify list. And so I posted, we gave birth or whatever. It was up on Flickr. And she was like, what?
You told the internet before you told me?
Yeah.
Totally.
Don't you just want to say, well, I thought you looked. So, you know, you were going to see it just as easily as anyone else.
No, the reality of it is easier to tell thousands and thousands of strangers about major life events than it is to get
it
through
is.
A phone tree.
That's really true.
You know, like, it's kind of horrifying.
That's what Twitter's great for. Twitter is like kind of an internet phone tree in a way, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. And everybody who had, you know, was familiar with text messaging knew instantly because I said I'm in labor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you have a mass text message thing that you sent out, or did you go through them one by one?
We put it together in the delivery room. Brian put together a text message list and just sent it out.
Geeks make better fathers, I think. I find.
It's true. Yeah. We had a picture of the baby out to friends within seconds, you know, so.
Well, you know,
that
that's
nice.
Why Philippe Kahn, who was the guy who started Borland and so forth, actually started a company after Borland flopped. And it was prompted by that. He was in the hospital and he had a camera phone and no way to get the pictures to the family. And he actually conceived of the notion of a camera phone and wrote the software that many cell phone companies are using now to forward camera pictures.
He was in the hospital with
his baby. He was prompted by wanting to show baby photos. So you're doing exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
See, well, bless him. It was very useful.
Yeah. I wanted to get back to what you were saying about some of your readers not being interested in poopy diapers and you deciding that you were just going to write about, you know, your life. When I was first writing my blog, there was not, when I first had my daughter, there wasn't this whole mass of mommy blogs, but now they're really right. out there. And so I just started the same way. I just started writing about my life, but then I realized, wow, like I'm losing some people and gaining others. But I wondered yeah. what, how you feel about, because I personally don't really like the term mommy blog. I think it's a little,
it's condescending.
Yes,
for sure.
Exactly. So I was wondering what your thoughts about that were.
Well, I would be more comfortable with it. One, yeah, if they weren't called mommy blogs. I'm, you know what? Frankly, I'm 100% comfortable being a mommy blogger. I think mommies are awesome. I love the parenting community. I've felt really embraced by everyone. I did feel when I gave birth like I was part of something that I hadn't been before, and that my readers were so kind and sweet to me, and I found it very moving, unexpectedly moving, you know? And my best online blogging friends who I, you know, sort of met at Blogger, a lot of them, and kept in touch with them, are all mommy bloggers. Mm. Like, you know, Heather Armstrong and I are very close. Alice, who does Finn Slippy, and Melissa with Suburban Bliss, Eden does Fussy,
yeah.
are all, that's actually my mommy group.
Yeah.
So, you know, we actually need to be taking better advantage of Skype. But they're all, you know, coming out to visit and things like that. So I have grown much more comfortable with it, but it has been weird to sort of see the battles rage in the comments section. Like that early in my pregnancy, you know, I would mention that I went to New York and all these sort of disgusting things happened where there was vomit on my seatbelt and there was a big wet spot in our hotel bed that I discovered as it soaked through my pajamas. You know, just like when you're at your most sensitive to disgusting things.
Yeah.
And all of the women were like, oh man, you know, vomit on your seatbelt. Like I could smell that before I got in the cab when I was pregnant. But then all of my other readers were like, you know, I'm pretty sure that even if I weren't like 6 months pregnant, I would notice if there were vomit on my seatbelt. I'm pretty sure, you know, like, so there was some snippiness about people attributing every life experience I was having to pregnancy
right.
and how it related to them because they wanted to relate to me. And then people who weren't at the time pregnant and had never been pregnant or weren't interested in pregnancy who were like, whatever, this is not a pregnant thing. Yeah. Most people would find that unpleasant, you know.
There is a great divide, though, that you cross. I'm wondering,
sure.
you know, this is why it's a little challenging for me to think about doing a podcast for digital parenting, because it's almost a taboo subject in some ways in the geek world to talk about that.
Maybe not among women,
but certainly among men.
Well, I don't think that's true. There's all kinds of dad blogs coming to
the
fore.
There are now.
We don't call them daddy blogs, but I'm going to start.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling them daddy blogs. Some of them do. I mean, there's like daddy types and, you know, they're
right. Mind being a daddy.
Yeah.
Chris Anderson's daddy, geek dad.
Yeah.
My cousin is a father of twins, and he does a thing called the Blog Fathers with a bunch of other
dad bloggers.
I think I've seen that. I've read his. Yeah, I think I've read that because I have twins too. So I definitely remember
Aww.
Taking a look at that. Yeah, that's your
yeah.
cousin. Oh, funny.
But this is in a way the maturing of the medium because it was, you know, young people doing it, and as we go through life transitions. It only makes sense. The media follows us along. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I do think there's definitely an odd thing happening in big cities where it is starting to be hip to be a parent, which is, you know, by definition, the least hip thing you could do through the ages, because once you're a parent, you stop being in touch with all right. of the things that kids care about, which is where cool comes from, ostensibly,
cool
right?
Cool is not being a kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So now, I mean, with all of the, I notice especially with Mighty Goods, how crazy it's getting with the baby gear that you can get yeah. in, you know.
Oh, yeah.
$700 strollers blow me away.
Oh, my God.
Well, who's going to buy
that? That's the low end.
But you know, it's actually demographically true. In Manhattan, there are more babies than ever before. It's a baby boom going yeah. on. And normally people would move out of the city.
Yeah.
And that still happens in San Francisco. I know a lot of people who get pregnant and leave yeah. immediately.
That's what I did when our baby yeah. was 6 months old. We started looking for a house up here in Petaluma.
Yeah.
You moved?
I moved when I was pregnant. But yeah, and a lot of my friends are still there, but they'll move once their kids are in school, sadly, elementary school.
Yeah. It's just, because you can't afford it. I mean, well, and yeah. the first time you try to change a baby's diaper in a 1920s pedestal sink bathroom, you know, my husband's in the hallway, like, finding a cardboard box to unfold on top of the sink so that he can change the baby diaper. It's like, man, you know, Portland's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Leah, I remember Jennifer, Leah's wife, telling us a story. Just the first time I came over with my brand new baby, and she told me this story about how she was carrying Abby, their little baby, around, and all of a sudden she just pooped everywhere over everything.
They were
all
a
over
discount.
Her.
They were a San Francisco discount store.
Yeah, they're just walking around San Francisco, and she was just like, "What do I do?" And that was like the first time she realized. I think she was telling me this story because I had come over to your house. My child had pooped, and I didn't have an extra set of clothing, and I was like, "Oh my
god, you didn't have an extra
set." I'm the worst mom ever.
And so you only do that once.
Yeah. The extra set of clothing. Yeah, now I think I still bring extra sets of clothing.
Yeah, it's wise. I want an extra set of clothing for you and the baby and the baby's dolls.
Exactly.
Fresh seat belts. Yeah. Fresh upholstery. Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Totally.
So we talked about Twitter. How you're using Twitter. What other kinds of technologies are you using? Now that you are a parent.
Well, Flickr is huge. We set the grandparents up with that immediately, of course, because you can't purchase the photos unless you're, you know, we were like foreseeing they can get access to them, but we're foreseeing years of needing to print every single photo we have and send it to them. And now they can just print everything themselves, which is such a lifesaver.
We didn't have Flickr. We had to use Ofoto.
Which is huge, too.
It was good, but they have to join. It wasn't as easy. It wasn't as cool.
But
I think Flickr
is great. I use Flickr with my kids. My kids don't really use the computer very often, but I've just started using it. You know, we'll take the boys and look at pictures of fire trucks. They're crazy about fire trucks. I mean, it's just something that's in there. You know, we didn't
try. It is genetic, isn't it?
It's very weird. But you'll just go to the Flickr groups and look up fire trucks, and, you know, they'll just sit there and look at them, and they're so amazing. I mean, it's great. And with Annabella, she loves pigs for some reason. And so we went to the pigs group and we're looking at little cute little pigs. And
who needs storybooks? You got Flickr.
But then there's like a page of bacon and she's like, why is that there? I love bacon and I love pigs.
Stupid internet.
So Flickr is a great conversation tool with your child too. So
I've heard so many parents say that actually use it for that exact thing. Search terms on things their kids are fascinated by.
See, my kids are older now, they're 15 and 12. So we missed that whole thing.
Yeah.
When they were little. There really wasn't that kind of internet.
Yeah, now you two get together and look at your daughter's MySpace
page. You know what's
page.
Interesting is they were really into CD-ROM, you know, the Broderbund Living Books and stuff, which are now completely gone. So in the space of 10 years, the technology of that time has completely disappeared.
Yeah.
There's going to be, I think, a lot of nostalgic things that pop up for me, the way that you miss roller skates with four wheels or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or record albums or things like that that you had experiences with as a child.
You still do Goodnight Moon and all that stuff, though, right? You haven't abandoned books.
There are still books.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You haven't, you're
only,
not doing Goodnight Moon
yet. Only
because
you don't want something that's lit to stimulate the child right before you're trying to put them to sleep.
Yeah. I can't remember when you start reading Goodnight Moon. It's not at 8 weeks, is it? No.
Sure, you can start any time. They'll probably eat it more than listen to it. But.
Right. We have three or four of them that are all torn up and chewed.
Yeah.
And then we could see that as the ages go. Oh, but I tell you, I must have read that book 800 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it memorized.
You do.
It's not, oh, Maggie.
No, oh, no, I mean, oh,
you
want
to make
sweet.
A cross when you sing Goodnight Moon.
Move away from the Goodnight
Moon.
Goodnight
Moon. No, it is. It's very sweet. And you do come to miss it as they get older.
Yeah.
Something special. Mm-hmm. So Flickr's one technology you use. You use SMS. You use Twitter. What else?
Right. And I think that's about it that I've really gotten into in terms of online services. We use, you know, I have a Canon Rebel XT, the EOS, that I use like crazy. I mean, you know, digital stuff is
everywhere.
Yeah. And so easy. You know, I just use iPhoto and pop
everything.
How
about a family website? Would you have a family blog? How soon before
we
your son
have HankMason.com.
Oh, okay.
And do you want to hear something terrifying? When we were picking baby names, whether we could obtain the URL was a huge factor.
No.
Huge factor, yes. And in fact, we were thinking for a girl, Stella Joy, right?
Great name.
And StellaJoy.com is a porn site.
Well,
and I was like,
that is why you say no. That is really important. You know,
it is.
Yeah.
And there is some, I mean, I'm definitely having moments where I think, you know, the rest of the nation hasn't I mean, living in San Francisco is a little bit like living in the future. And the rest of the country hasn't totally caught up to, I mean, or maybe may never be interested in having an online life. And I think about what will happen when my little boy gets Googled for the first time, you know, when he's his eighth grade crush can see his bearskin rub pictures online, you know, and that there's a very weird element to that, that I feel like you really have to think about Google results for when your child has been online since they were 2 minutes old.
I did register. I just recently registered Abby Laporte and HenryLaporte.com because I thought, and I said, do you want it? And they said, what are you talking about? But I thought, you know, I got it for 10 years. I figure by the time they're 21, if they don't want it anymore, they can get rid of it or they can pay for it. But it seems like it's an important thing to have.
The Google search, that's interesting. I also think, you know, in terms of this mommy blog movement, Leo and I were talking about this, you know, it's mostly young kids that are being blogged about moms, you know, little, you know, babies. And once you get to teenage years, I mean, you're going to have to stop writing about your children. I mean, because
you can't wait to stop writing about your children.
Please, God, give me something else.
Well, you know, I mean,
they have a blog. They have MySpace.
Exactly. Then you're making, then you're reading their blog. But yeah,
which is its own whole new set of horrifying, right? The MySpace. Oh, great. Yeah. Dealing with that as a parent is like, oh man.
Yeah. Cause
I can't wait.
Yeah. I worry about what, you know, when they look up, you know, the things I've written about them. But the truth is probably, Leo, they don't care. They don't care. They care about what their friends have to say, not what their mom has to say.
You know, it's so far off before Hank is a teenager that it's certainly not going to be MySpace or Facebook or Verb even.
Oh, no.
It's going to be whatever the new thing is.
Right. So, you know. And I think that the thing about the teenagers, I mean, well, if you remember always that your child is a human being who has the ability to be embarrassed by things, you know, even before they can speak, then you're in a good position. But you can always write about your children as they relate to you and your life.
Yeah.
You know, you're writing about your life, and if obviously your family is going to be a big part of that, as much as your husband would be a big part of it or your wife would be a big part of it. So I do know of, there's a woman who does Mocha Mama. She has a couple teenage kids, and she writes about her conversations with them all the time, and I like seeing what happens when you have a more adult relationship with your child and how that manifests in the way that you write and the things that you produce.
I have to say, I'm a little sensitive about putting my family in my blog. I go back and forth about it. I just worry about exposing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It totally depends on what your genre is.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are many blogs out there, obviously, as there are magazine title. I mean, more blogs than magazine titles, but in terms of genres. So if you're writing like a tech blog, it's weird.
Yeah.
But if you're writing a narrative, like if you're doing deuce.com, it's going to have a major impact on your traffic if you stop doing that narrative because that's what it is.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
So,
but she's another blogger that started before she was a mom at all, and you know, just sort of evolved naturally.
Which, what's the site? What's it?
It's Deuce.
Deuce.
Heather Armstrong. D-U-C-E?
She was one of your
D-O-O-C-E.
I'm sorry, I'm so out of it.
She was also one of the Forbes web celebs. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's a web celeb,
or she was a backup web celeb or something. But yeah, she. I mean, she writes.
She's sort of she. Well, I don't.
Look, here's a picture.
I would
of her daughter,
say that
right?
When she converted to mommy blogging, there was no such thing as mommy blogging.
Yeah.
You know, so when she started writing about her baby or her pregnancy experience or whatever, it hadn't sort of become a cultural force the way it is been in the last couple of years. And so she sort of wandered into that unawares in a way that I'm not able to.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like knowing that when I start writing about this stuff, it's going to change my audience and the dynamic of my site and everything, and having to embrace that.
And now John Battelle's selling breastfeeding pillow ads onto her site. So it opens up a whole new market.
Well,
I
she
wonder,
supports
though,
herself with this site, doesn't she?
Yes, she has tens of thousands of daily readers. I mean, her traffic is off the charts. She, on Technorati, she was like number 9 for a while. Something like that.
Now, I wonder, though, I mean, that's such a big transition, and it does change the tenor of the blog if that is a risky thing to do. If you're a book author, a novelist, you don't start suddenly writing about babies and kids because you had a baby.
Yeah, I mean,
or sometimes
was,
you do.
Maybe you do. Yeah, if you're a memoirist, of course you do.
But I don't feel like her tone really changed that much from
right.
Do you remember, Leo, she got fired from her job for blogging about her work.
Yeah. I remember her now. Yeah,
and yeah. I mean, and she writes this the same way about, I mean, she writes in a way that is really refreshing, just, you know, irreverent and
super candid,
funny, and it's long form too. I mean, it's a blog you really read as opposed to just, you know, where
I guess that's one thing that's changed is that because of blogs, there are far more memoirists than there were when it was just printed books. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I mean, and there's just people being able to connect. I remember, Leo, when I, you know, we live in a kind of small town and we had just moved here. I was all by myself. Like I didn't have very many ways to connect. I mean, through my blog was a good way.
Right.
I mean, because I just didn't have any moms that I knew in town. And
right, right.
I think
right.
lots of moms, that's what they use it for. And I think it's a great resource for that reason.
You have a virtual mommy group, Maggie. I mean, you don't even...
It's true.
Yeah, she has,
I really
like,
do, and I don't even have
ever.
A physical mommy group. I
really?
Don't have... No, I have no one other woman from my birth class, and then I have a dear friend named Andrea, who's also a blogger. She does Superhero Designs Journal, and she's in Berkeley. And that's it. I mean, in terms of people who have children my age or children at all, I mean,
I
maybe there's four more
thing.
People.
Do you think that's a good thing?
I think that I have had a... great measure of support from my virtual community, which I don't separate too much from my actual day-to-day life. I would love to have and plan to sort of cultivate a group of people that I can go out to coffee with. But in terms of, oh my God, this is happening and is my baby going to die? There's no shortage of people to ask. I mean, I have if I posted something like that on my site, within 15 minutes, I would have 30 responses of people like, don't worry, sit down, take a deep breath. What's happening is this, you know, it's unprecedented in terms of support.
Oh, yeah. Because you're not going to find that in a book. I mean, you know,
right.
That's what people used in the last decade.
This is interesting because we certainly see a cultural shift among everybody that our friends are no longer... our neighbors are the people that we work with. Our friends are geographically spread out. Now, that's fine for an adult.
Right.
It doesn't work as well for little kids.
For kids.
And
right.
I'm thinking about the mommy and daddy groups that we've been a part of, and many of the kids' earliest friends were kids they met in those groups.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are you losing something there? Do you go to the playground and see other kids?
Yeah. Well, he's so little that it's not
it's too early,
I mean,
isn't it?
Just push him down the slide. He's ready.
He's still not even sure what his hands are. So I haven't been as concerned with
that's
the social
true.
Interaction
yeah.
component.
You can't go to when you go to the playground when you have like an infant, people are just they think you're weird. You know, you have to wait till they can sit in
the swing. I used to take Abby
swing.
All the time in the stroller, but we would just sit and look.
Yeah, people thought you were weird.
Yeah. Well, I was weird. I was
why
just
are you
desperate.
Doing this? You don't have to be here.
Well, this was in San Francisco. This was out in the avenues in San Francisco on Moraga and 27th. The only playground that was nearby was full of Chinese school kids. So it was. I think it was just entertaining.
Aww.
It was just fun to watch. There was nobody her age there, of course. But
oh yeah,
we had fun.
Yeah.
I think that there are a lot of... Somebody suggested the community play groups, I think through City College, and we will start doing that really
that's
soon.
A good one,
like
actually.
At 6 months, I think we're probably going to join the Jewish Community Center in town
also
that has a whole
good.
Bunch of programs for, you know, mommy and me swim classes and things like
that.
So I'm getting to the point where I can shower regularly and actually leave the house. So all of that is going to come for sure.
So,
but
yeah. I guess that's my question is that we are in a disconnected world as adults now, and that it's going to very much change for kids. Or maybe it
right.
isn't. Maybe kids will force us back into physical contact with people.
Well, I don't feel disconnected. I mean, I think that what it has done for me is made richer friendships because in terms of how you find people who have the same set of interests or sort of the same outlook on life, the net makes that so much more possible. So I feel like I have, you know, five or six best friends that I would never have otherwise had because they wouldn't all ever have ended up in the same geographical area.
Right.
And now I can have a deeper relationship with more people in my life and we can arrange to take family vacations together. You know, all of them are coming to visit in May and we find ways to be in contact. We talk on the phone, we talk online, and often I see them more frequently than I would see a lot of friends that are in town. You know, if I see them, you know, once every couple months or something, I'd certainly have acquaintances who I don't see that often, you know? So I think there will obviously be a balance, but that for me, it's much more emotionally and intellectually sustaining to be able to choose from a wider pool of people to be close friends.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's in defense of all of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. She's not living her life online. These people.
Oh, no, no. But I do notice that. I mean, my circle of friends is certainly wider, and it's for the most part online. It's not. It's not so much in person.
Well, and you wouldn't have anything to present online if you didn't live your life. You know, I mean,
that's
if you're just sitting
too.
At your computer all day, I mean, I guess that you can have sort of like a link call, like a boing boing type thing, but you couldn't do a memoir without anything to write about. And it makes your life richer that way because you think, oh my God, I have nothing to write about. I've been lame for the last week. Like, I need to get out of the house. So...
No one cares what your baby had for lunch either.
Exactly. But snacks are fascinating, though.
Yeah, they are. There was a website that I saw. I don't know if it's still around, but it was vegan lunchboxes, and she'd make.
Oh,
Do you remember that? And she'd make a vegan lunch for her child and take a picture of it every day.
See, that's great because that's information you can really use.
Yes, or it can make
and
you feel
food
guilty.
Blogs.
Right.
They're not preparing the same for your child. For your child who's eating chicken nuggets off the floor.
Awesome.
Not my child.
Only with the 5 second rule. I mean, you're not going to leave the chicken nuggets on the floor. Just if they've dropped onto the floor, it's fine.
Yeah. And it's good for their pincher movement. It's
exactly.
Very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To retrieve.
That's
follow with your eyes as it falls to the floor.
Yeah.
That's how we justified Cheerios. It's a motor thing.
Yeah.
It's good for
the
motor skills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of Cheerios.
And bento boxes are a big thing online too. Like the bento box community freaked at the no one cares what you had for lunch. But obviously the title is
No wonder you know so much about this because for the people who are writing about lunch.
You know, obviously the title wasn't meant to refer to food bloggers. Food blogs are awesome and fascinating. I do care what you had for lunch if you went to Chez Panisse. You know, if you're at French Laundry and you want to let me know what you had for lunch, complete with photo detail, I'm ready to read.
Yeah.
I think if somebody's obsessed about anything, it's kind of fascinating, even if it's the weirdest thing. Obsession is what's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And so if you're obsessed with bento boxes, that's why not? You know, that's interesting.
Sure.
For a while.
for a couple of days in my feed, it's awesome.
Yeah, I may not go back there for years, but yeah.
Yeah. So are there some gadgets that you thought were going to be useful in these first stages that you found?
I know she's not fond of the breast pump. I noticed that on your Twitter blog.
Well, no one's fond of the breast pump, but it serves a purpose.
What did I say? I don't even remember.
I think the pump is giving me a carpal tunnel.
Oh, man. So we were foolish enough to think, and actually it was good. We decided that our baby is not a crier. Right.
Oh,
so on the road, we decided to go on a road trip because Brian had some paternity leave and we like to
you went to
go on road trips. We went to Seattle, actually.
Wow.
And the idea was to go up and see Portland and, you know, hang out with some friends there and things. And we went and I took this manual breast pump that the hospital gives you where you just, you know, it's like a sideways pump and you squeeze. Oh my God, it was a total nightmare. In fact, we stopped at a Babies R Us and got the Medela swing that you put around your neck, the circular one, because I was getting arthritis symptoms. So it all got better after that. But I'm not a big fan
you're
of the
very,
pump.
I have to say, your Twitters are great. First of all, they're well written. You're clearly writerly.
Thank you.
But also, they're very personal and interesting. I mean, I know a lot about you.
Twitter has been a lot. You know, actually, Flickr and Twitter turned my blog a lot less, made it less observational. Because it used to be a lot about, like, what I overheard on the bus. And then what you would know about me is how I perceive the world.
Right.
So, and you can know a lot about a person because of that. The things that they notice and the way that they comment and, you know. But I didn't really write about me. And then with Flickr, it was like, oh my God, everybody can see everything that I'm doing. Like if I want a record of it, because I'm not going to put it in photo albums or likely even order photos, I don't want to closely monitor the crazy friends and family only thing, people are going to know a lot about you. And that let my guard down a little bit, not having any negative repercussions from that. So I think Twitter is the newest medium for me to open up, and it has been a lot more personal because it's what's happening in the moment and you don't think as much about hitting send because you're usually in the midst of doing something else. So
that's interesting.
But gadgets that I thought that my iPod would be a lot more useful than it has been. We've used it for, well, it's been hugely useful for podcasts, actually, like NPR, when we plug into the car, like when we drive or when I breastfeed, I do listen to podcasts a lot. What I didn't expect to be as useful as it has been is our GPS system. Brian got me a TomTom for my birthday. I'm one of those people who is missing. I have a dark spot in my brain where directional ability should be. Like 3D modeling is very difficult for me.
I know that's
and so, yeah, I could get lost 3 blocks from my house for an hour, really. And I thought I was stupid for a really long time. Like, I'm just really dumb about this, but I just lack that ability. And so Brian got me a TomTom, and there's so many new places you need to go when you have a baby. Yeah. That would be a huge challenge for me otherwise, because I'd have to MapQuest everything, not only MapQuest how to get there, but I can't reverse the directions in my brain. So I'd have to MapQuest how to get back.
Right.
And then there would be all this anxiety around it. And I'd feel like I had to leave early because the likelihood of me getting lost was a big thing. And now it's just like you program it in and you hit done and wham.
Wow.
So that has been a lifesaver with my brain on auto.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you just, yeah, you do have to be back at a certain time if you're nursing. I mean, it can be, you know, you have time limits on your life suddenly.
And speaking of nursing, the other thing that we never used before, we got an electric water kettle as a gift.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that I didn't like the lack of traditionalism. Like, I'm a big tea drinker, and I like the pot on the stove whistling and, you know, the sort of sensory parts of making tea. But you need hot water so often when you have a baby for like heating bottles or, you know, make instant soup or whatever, that that electric tea kettle, we haven't used our regular kettle since. Like, it has been awesome to have hot water in 30 seconds and you pop, you know, the bottle of breast milk in the water and it's fine, done. So that was, and a back massager too.
Oh,
I got one from Mighty Goods, like a, one of those giant, it's like, it has a thumping motion and it's huge. And I had such back pains from nursing that I thought I'm never going to use this. And then I used it right away. But the big thing that it does is it turns any baby vehicle into a rocker.
Oh.
So you take the back massager and it's this giant thing. It's the size of the baby at first. And I would wrap it in a towel and put it in his stroller or put it in his co-sleeper or wherever he was. It made the vibrator portion of that, of the swing mechanism, portable.
Oh, nice.
It was really nice, and it calms him right away. He loves it.
Are you going to start? So, you have a kids section on Mighty Goods. I guess you don't need a baby section, really.
Well, I think that I may eventually branch. I've been talking about this for years, and I think that it's coming soon to do a Mighty Kids, so that, to pull that out so that it's more easily divisible by age. And now that I'm shopping for that stuff, it just makes so much sense to have a separate one. So that'll probably happen in the next year or so.
Yeah.
I think that because there's every year there's a new set of stuff you need to get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of stuff.
Things that make your life so much easier. Like, I've been amazed at the products out there that I couldn't live without that weren't even available to friends who had babies 5 years ago, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was telling you about that iCrib that you recommended on Mighty Goods, that you put your iPod and you attach it to the crib. I would have loved to have that. I mean, now it's too late because they'd grab it out of there and press all the buttons and break it. But yeah, we just had our laptop. We thought we were so high tech in 2000, way back in 2003, when we had our laptop running iTunes and playing all the kinds of music we thought would help her sleep. But now,
The Munchkin iCrib sound system, $25 at Target.
Yeah.
Can you believe how cheap that is, too?
It doesn't include
really
the iPod.
Reasonable.
Just add the $400 iPod and you're set.
Right, and you're set. You're done. Yeah, we have one of those, and he's not sleeping in his nursery yet. I actually anticipate that's when the iPod thing is really going to kick in. I've downloaded like a zillion lullabies, and we have that.
You could download White Noise. White Noise was always... helpful.
We should do a white noise podcast.
Yeah.
Different flavors of white noise.
We joke about how the baby's white noise is bar. He likes pub sounds. So we went on our road trip and he would conk if you took him into a pub. Like wherever we went. So we're like, we should just get a sound of like a tray dropping or people calling in orders or, you know, like people laughing and, you know, glasses clinking and do a different one for every night and car sounds in between. So you're leaving, you're going home. And
yeah, I bet there's a bar podcast. Just
totally.
You could put, yeah.
Bar sounds.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just a background.
Bar sounds for baby.
Background.
Bar
baby
sounds for baby. It sounds like a McSweeney's CD.
Yeah.
Bar sounds for baby.
For sure. Well, we're going to run off now because we've talked for an awful long time and you probably have to breastfeed or something.
It is true. Always.
She was probably doing
pretty
it while
much
we were
24
talking.
Hours a day.
One more Twitter post. Let me see if I can find it. She says that breastfeeding is even more boring than watching televised golf, I think is what she said.
It is. Yeah, that's what I tell all my baby friends. Get your Netflix cues ready. Because before
I was like,
I'm never going to watch TV while I breastfeed. It's this angelic thing that you do. And then when I figured out you're doing it 22 hours a day, I figured you have to be entertained in some other way.
Oh, man. Yeah, and the baby's not interacting with you at first. It's not like a fun...
No.
It's not a great super bonding thing for all 8 hours a day that you're doing it.
No. You feel like a feeding trough, I imagine, yeah.
And in fact, are.
Yeah.
Maggie, it's been great to meet you and to talk to you.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you. Good luck with this. Is this, how many of these have you done?
Is this the first.
Yeah.
Wow. What an honor.
Yeah. You have a newborn. We're newborn, you know.
I've done a few podcasts in my time, but this is our first family podcast. Yeah. First one that we've done together.
Wow.
So.
What's a fantastic idea. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you
so
much.
I have something new for my iPod.
Yes. One more Mommy Cast just for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for thinking
of
Maggie.
Me. That's the mighty, what is she, mighty chick?
Mighty girl.
Mighty.
Mighty girl.
I'm glad she's
gone.
Com. Maggie Mason, the mightygirl.com, mightygoods.com, and No One Cares What You Had for Lunch, the book.
Mm-hmm. Peach Pit Press.
Peach Pit does great stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's, you know, we talked in the interview about Twitter, and this we actually recorded this a couple of days ago. It was actually before I had left Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm not on Twitter anymore.
I know. It's so funny. I was like, gosh, you know, Leo's on Twitter. I should really join Twitter. Because when I first talked to you, I didn't.
Other people
and then I did, and I'd sign up, and then I went, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't catch that guy. Like, he's here. He's gone.
Dane, my assistant, says it's like Andy Warhol. You know, he comes to a party, and it's the hot party, and then he moves on, and there's another, you go to another party.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep up.
But Jaiku, you can put your Twitter feeds on.
Exactly.
Jaiku, like, there's a whole place.
That's the new Twitter that I'm using, Jaiku. .com. Same idea as Twitter, but it allows feeds, which means you could put your photos
your
from
blog,
Flickr.
Yeah.
You could put your blog postings, your podcasts, mm-hmm. even because Twitter has an RSS feed, even your Twitter posts mm-hmm. go up there. The other thing that's kind of cool about Jaiku is there's commenting. So when it's almost like a little mini message board. You put a thought up and instantly there's people writing about it
yeah.
and you can go back and forth, which you can't do on Twitter. People kind of almost try to do it with Twitter because you want to respond.
I've seen that on Twitter, like someone answering a question
sign.
And that's
and it actually
means.
It's not doesn't work as well on Twitter, although they have the same problem on Jaiku right now, which is that all the comments are in the stream. They've got to, maybe by the time you hear this, they'll have fixed it.
Can you turn off comments on Jaiku?
You can't.
Cannot?
You cannot. And so they need to have, and we've talked about it with them. You know, they've got a long list of things that they want to do. I kind of crashed the server when I got there. So their first priority was getting everything back up and running.
The Leo
but they're going to collapse those comments so that you can just see the posts. But if you want to, and then it'll say, you know, there are 32 comments. And if you want, you can look at the comments or not.
Right. Well, because that's kind of one of the things I liked about Twitter. That
it's very simple.
That you can't comment on
right.
it. I mean, I like comments, but sometimes.
No, I agree with you.
You
this
know.
Makes it more like a message board. So. It's more time consuming, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that. The great thing about Twitter, it's very simple. It just is what it is. And that's really kind of its appeal. You get it right away or you can get it pretty quickly and you can use it. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that if you're going there to see my posts on Twitter, I'm not there anymore. I moved.
Yeah.
Jaiku.com and my, I am chieftwit.jaiku.com.
Yeah.
Because I'm the chief twit.
Mm-hmm.
We should get you on there. You should be a jumping monkey.
Yeah.
You don't have time, see?
I don't know. Yeah. I listen to twit and I sometimes think, what would I have to add to this conversation? And sometimes the answer is nothing. So I love listening to it, though.
See, people say that sometimes and I just laugh because it's not like we have anything to add.
Oh, my gosh. You guys do.
We just kind of talking.
No, I mean, there's something, I've been working since I had my kids, but not working and not so tapped into technology as we were at Tech TV. I mean, I was just reading the news every day and you step away from that for a moment and it zips by you and then.
Well, and that's really why that was the inspiration for Twit was I missed that of getting together and saying, hey, what happened today or this week? So that was totally the inspiration. It was a way for me to keep up.
Yeah.
And so now I have all these people who do that, basically. I get on there and say, well, what happened this week? And they tell me. Shh, that's the secret. No one, no one knows that. We're out of time on episode 2. I hope you've enjoyed it. As you mentioned, we're going to talk with... We've got some great guests coming up.
Yeah.
More
I'm
links.
I'm excited. Dads and moms coming on. It's going to be really exciting.
We'd love to hear from you. Things you'd like to see on there. Megan's email address is megan@twit.tv. And you can, if you use Delicious, del.icio.us, it's a bookmarking site. Yahoo runs it now. If you use it to tag stuff, to bookmark stuff, and you want us to see it, if you just tag it with jumping monkeys, one word, we will see it. So that's another way to do that. Bookmark something on Delicious that you think would be great for the show, tag it with jumping monkeys, and anything else you want, we will see it. Megan Maroney, what fun. You have to run home and make more brownies?
Yeah, for everybody.
I'm done, yeah. Did you bring enough for the whole podcast? We thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.
Jumping Monkeys, the podcast.